Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Podcasting from New York City to the world. This is your host, Danny. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 991. And we're going to have a great, great show on this episode, which I can't wait for y'all to listen to this because it was a great conversation. But more on that later on. But first, head over right now to gamertagradio.com and subscribe, post your comments and feedback. Listen also to our past episode. We go way back all the way to 2005. So listen to every single episode of GTR. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. Follow us and subscribe. Or if you can, also post your review of GTR. That will help us out a lot. Now, if you would like to send questions for us for future fan mail episodes, which we have a lot of voice messages, but we need more. Send us more, because I'm saving them up for an episode all about fan mail. So this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so a couple more things too. Later this year, I'm going to be speaking at in Orlando, Florida on March 6th through the 8th. And I would love for you to also attend this event. So there's two events happening during PodFest, which is everything is going to take place in Orlando, Florida. So the first event I'm going to be speaking at is called Cinema Vos. Go to cinemavos.com. This is the first bilingual event of its kind. This is where they're going to be bringing together voice actors, actors, podcasters, broadcasters, everybody from the podcast or radio industry into one place. The goal is to unite international professional in audio and film. So everybody's going to be sharing their experiences. This is a great way for anybody to network. And who knows, major opportunities might pop up because of this. So all you have to do is go to cinemavoz.com. That's cinemavoz, V-O-Z.com. Go over there, sign up, register, and attend my event. Because on that one, I'm going to be speaking about a little bit about GTR, but more on voice acting or voiceovers for like commercials, live reads that we do on a podcast, all that. So I'm going to be speaking about that. And I'm going to be playing my first live read I've ever done. From back in 2006 and how that been helping us with the podcast. So definitely going to be showing a lot of that stuff over there. So, and also Q&A and a couple other surprises too. So that's Cinema Vos. Now there's also another event happening also the same exact day. It's called Sports PodCon. This is the first international sports, esports and gaming podcast conference. Again, this is also happening in the Orlando area, the Marriott. That one is also taking place March 6th through the 8th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So on that one, I have a presentation also about how I've been doing coverage for not only video games, but also esports since 2005. And I'm going to share a lot of cool stories about my experience and how that could help you to create great content out of it. So yeah, that's two events I'm going to be speaking. So for more information about this one, go to sportspodcon.com. That's sportspodcon.com. So for more information, just hit me up on Twitter or any social media outlet out there. Just hit me up and I'll definitely will reply to you and answer your questions, man. So I hope any of your listeners, if you're close to the Orlando area or live in Orlando, make sure to attend. That would be really cool. We could do like a little nice meetup over there, and we'll talk and chill and hang out and everything. It'll be cool.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so let's talk about what we have on this episode. Are you a fan of Phantasy Star Online? You already know my story that this game completely changed my life back in 2001 when it came out for the original Dreamcast. And throughout the years, you know, there's been different versions coming out. Like I know version 2.0 came out after that, GameCube version. There was a Phantasy Star Zero for the DS. Phantasy Star Universe also came out for Xbox 360. Also, the original Phantasy Star also came out for Xbox. So I go way back with this. But when I was at E3, at the press conference, I was there sitting down, and they, Sega and Microsoft, announced the new Phantasy Star Online 2 that's been out since 2012 in Japan, but never here in the States. And this is going to be the first time here. I almost cried. I got excited, super hyped, got goosebumps. I totally guessed. I was like, that's Phantasy Star Online 2. The crowd went nuts. I went nuts. I know there's a picture online that Khalif from Spawn on Me took during that when that happened, that moment happened. So really cool. So what I did, I hit up my friend Mark Turcotte. He was the creator for Guardian Radio, huge podcaster. He's been podcasting now for a while. He has a lot of other shows, but he is also a huge fan of Phantasy Star Online, and he played Part 2. The Japanese version. So I invited him on the podcast just to strictly talk about Phantasy Star Online and the next one, Part 2, that's coming in here for the first time in the States. So I want you to listen to this. I hope you enjoy this, because this was a great conversation. Even if you're not a fan of Phantasy Star Online, this conversation will get you hype about it. So the game is coming out very soon. Closed beta is coming out very, very soon. I think between like now and February, maybe. I'm totally guessing that, but that's coming out, and I'll be in contact with Sega. Who knows what can happen in the future? I would love to have him on the show so we could talk more about the game, and hopefully in the future I also will get together with my brother, because he's also a huge fan of the game, and we're going to be talking about it. So this game is going to be totally free to play, cross play. The closed beta is going to be available for the Xbox One, not sure for the PC version, but you can sign up, go right now to the Xbox Insider app and register right now if you want to be part of this closed beta. So let's play the interview right now, the roundtable discussion, and let me know what you guys think. Remember to hit me up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. That's fanmail@gamertagradio.com. So enjoy the roundtable, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here at Gamertag Radio. I have a special guest, and we're going to be talking about one of my favorite games ever since day one, Phantasy Star Online, but Part 2 that is finally coming here to the States. And we have a special guest here. You would like to introduce yourself? Go from there, man.
First, Danny, thank you here for having me on the show. My name is Mark Turcotte. And many of you out there probably know me as the creator and host of Guardian Radio. It was the first and longest running Destiny podcast out there. And we wrapped the show up last year, and currently I'm hosting the Enthusiast Life Right Now podcast, which I host with a buddy of mine, where we're talking video games, comics, news, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And like you, Godfrey, I am a huge Phantasy Star Online fan. So the announcement of PSO2 coming here to the West, super stoked, man. Super, super stoked.
I have a question about that. So where were you when they announced? Was that announced? Were you watching the press conference like us?
Dude, I was in a movie theater, and my phone kept going up. And I don't even know what movie it was. This would have been beginning of June. It was a movie with my wife and kids, and my phone just kept going off in my pocket. Because for years, this has always been the one game that I've been like, please announce Phantasy Star Online 2. I think I always would tweet it out like a week before the conference, is just saying like, dear Sega, please let this be the year PSO2 is coming. And so when people know that, I would always put that out there. Finally, you know, it goes, so my phone's blowing up. So I kind of pulled the, hey, I got to go out to the bathroom, I'll be right back. Walked out in the lobby, looked at my notifications, and just probably spent way too much time out in the lobby than I should have, you know, came back clearly, you know, my wife and kids are like, where were you? And, you know, that the rest is history, man. I immediately, yeah. you know, of course, went home, was calling friends, texting people. And I think I even messaged you. I think even, you know, on Twitter, yep. like, you know, it happened, man. It finally happened.
And I was there. It's crazy. Like inside the second of the press conference with Xbox, with Paris, with Pete, and a couple of the friends. Khalif was there too. And I'm watching this trailer. I'm like, man, that looks so familiar. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. And right there, Mark, I was getting goosebumps and I literally almost cried, man. I almost cried.
Because, I love the pictures. I've seen the pictures. Man.
Yeah. I was gonna get up, but I was like, man, I don't know if I should do it or not. But I was just like screaming and everybody was looking at me like, why are you so excited? And I was like, that's Phantasy Star Online. And right there they announced it. And everybody looked at me like, how the hell did this guy know it was? But yeah, dude, I was super excited because I have a long history of that game, you know, especially the first one from this original Sega Dreamcast. And yeah, I'm excited for this, man. But let's go back before we start talking about Phantasy Star Online 2. When was like the first time you actually got to play Phantasy Star?
I remember like seeing, you know, probably articles in what would have been probably EGM or whatever it was back, mm-hmm. you know, in the Dreamcast days when you would go through and just look at these games in there. And I remember always just being drawn to Phantasy Star Online whenever there was any coverage of that game. Now, when the Dreamcast came out, I didn't actually get one day one. So I was a little bit late to the game with the Dreamcast. And I remember wanting to get into Phantasy Star. And I actually did get my hands on a copy. But back then, I mean, it had the monthly fee and just the gamer I was back then, I'm like, no, I don't pay a monthly fee for a video game. Mm-hmm. Flash forward to when it released on the Xbox, you know, here I'm saying, I don't want to pay for a video game. At that point, I'm paying for Xbox Live and then paying, you know, the monthly fee for the game. But at that point, I think that had episode 1 and 2 and did that have 4 on it? I mean, no, maybe 4 was Blue Burst. I think 4 was maybe Blue Burst on the PC. Yeah. That's where I jumped in and I just was like blown away. It was the first game of that type that I had ever played where it's a MMO essentially, right? Where you're in there just coming across random people, going into the lobbies. And I was just struck by the mix of the sci-fi with, I want to say even magic. And I know some people can say maybe, you know, Final Fantasy has kind of always had that to some extent, but nothing like this. I mean, this put the sci-fi first. You know, running around as a cast, as a robot, just to me was like the coolest thing in a spaceship. I mean, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I'm like, I get to be in space, you know, and I get to be a robot in this world, but yet there's people around me casting magic spells to heal me. Like, it just was the coolest thing to me back then. And, you know, the fact that you were able to just use a controller. You know, I wasn't a big PC gamer back then, so the fact that I, you know, had seen games online, like people playing EverQuest and things like that, and wanting to play those, but not having access to a gaming PC, that this was the closest thing that I could get. And it just captured me, man. I loved it.
I remember playing the first one, and it was through, of course, Sega Dreamcast, through a 56K modem, using my keyboard, because there was no voice chat. So when the game was announced for the original Xbox, I was like, wait a minute, so this is going to have voice chat? Oh, my God. So then once I started playing it, I remember playing this with my brother, because we played this even from the original one. But once we started playing the Xbox version, I remember there was a delay talking voice chat. I don't know if you remember that, Mark.
Oh, like
you would say something and it would take like maybe like 4 or 5 seconds later, then your group will also get the voice chat too, the message. But it just took like a very long time. So we got so used to it, like we're about to die. We even timed it like right before we were about to die. Okay, we're about to die. And right there, 4 seconds later, once we're dead, that's when they come and revive me and stuff. Like it was insane. It was insane, man.
Now, but didn't the original have the loot drops were shared, mm-hmm. right?
No, I think, but I did.
Because Phantasy Star Universe, I know, did that. And I was trying to think back and I hated that because I always liked playing a ranger, but it always kind of screwed you because you were far away. Of course, you shoot a box, you're standing away from it, you're not there. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I remember most about just playing, especially on the Xbox, I don't know how much it was on the Dreamcast, was people, and I know this is kind of shady to say this, but people hacking the game.
Oh, yes. That happened a lot.
Like one of, even though, like, sure, you know, the purists out there, that's not the way to play the game, it made the game so much fun because you'd log in, people were throwing just random mags at you,
random crazy weapons,
and it was it was just so much fun to go in there and just, what am I going to find today? Who's going to trade me something just goofy?
I think it was version 2.0. That's when you could actually exchange and like items if you want. But I know there was a time that people also will steal your stuff. Like you drop it thinking, okay, they're going to drop theirs. No, they take it and they run away. I'm like, and hey, come back.
Dude, right now, I'm living, my daughter, I don't know how you are into some of the mobile games that the kids are playing these days, which of course me being a dad, I am. My daughter's into Roblox. And there's this trading game within that. And that's literally happening right now. I said to her the other day, I'm like, I used to play this game and it was called Phantasy Star Online. I said, what you're doing right now? I said, the same thing happened back then where someone would drop something like, yeah, I'll trade it. And then they just steal it and just log off.
And log off, yep.
There's been, I can't even tell you countless times before coming crying, like, so-and-so logged in and stole it. I'm like, that's just, gaming hasn't changed. Here we are 20 years later and the same things are happening, man. It's wild.
Now, here's the thing that I really enjoyed about the first game too was, I mean, this is not a hack or anything like that, but I remember playing the US servers and there wasn't that many quests compared to the Japanese servers.
No.
So
I was
switch it to the Japanese servers and actually play these new quests that wasn't available in the US. I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. It has some pretty good quests there, man. You know? So they had that. I'm trying to remember. We also had like special rooms too, like for IGN fans. There was like a room we all get together and meet up and so on. You were going to say something?
Well, I'm going to say, what was the, there was like that one quest and it was like the boss rush, where you would rush the four bosses from episode one. Do you remember that? It was like that was like the quickest way to level up. Like if you went in as like a level one or two and you would go into, for people that don't know the way the game would work is you'd kind of log into, I think they called it, was it room one, block one or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And you would go there and you'd see other people in the lobby and then you could kind of go in and see where people were looking to go on different quests, or they would just open their parties up where you could pick which one you want to go on. And a lot of people were always just rerunning. I mean, it was just we talk about grinding now. I mean, Phantasy Star Online, that's all it really was. It was just one big grind, especially like you said, Danny, here in the States, we didn't have all the quests that they had over in Japan. So we were kind of limited as what we could do. And this one quest basically ran you through the four zones, the forest, the caves, the mines. You'd run through all four of those, but it was just the bosses. And I mean, you could run that just a handful of times with like an XP boost on and you would just be, skyrocketing your level. So you could just level alt real quick. And I remember just running that over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember this though. I used to play Phantasy Star Online on the Dreamcast using Nets Zero. There was a hack. I don't know if it was a hack, but people figured out like how to play free internet. So only had like every time I play it, I only will have like between 40 minutes to like an hour and then it resets and I have to call back and join with my friends again and start doing the quest again and so on. So that happened a lot. Yeah.
Were you going to like the grocery store and like just grabbing like stacks of discs to like get it to work?
Oh, no. No. That's you're talking about AOL that you could do that. But
oh, okay. Net Zero didn't have a disc too?
They did for PC, but for the Dreamcast, you had to do it like in a certain way through the settings.
See what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. So then we'll call it. I'll start playing the game, but I only have like a certain amount of time. So I'm like telling people, like, hey, let's hurry up. Let's finish this quest. It's going to take me. I mean, it's going to take us like maybe 30 minutes or so, but yeah, it was insane. But hey, I got to play it, man. And then when version 2.0 came out, I actually got the Japanese version. I went to Chinatown in New York City. Ooh, and nice. I went to one of the stores and I purchased Phantasy Star Online version 2.0. And then I had the community because of the radio show that I had back then. People were like, hey, Danny, don't worry about it. We'll pay for you. So they were actually paying for like almost a whole year. I was playing the game for free. Yeah. Thanks to the community back then. Yeah. So now let's fast forward. I know there was a couple other games that also came out after that. There's a Phantasy Star Universe. And also, I don't know if you got to play this because I still have it somewhere around here. Phantasy Star, also like a game for the 3DS.
Was on the DS, right?
It was Zero. So DS, not 3DS. DS, yeah. You got to play that too?
I did play that, but I didn't really... I could never really get online. Not that I couldn't get online, but I just couldn't get into the online with that. So I just kind of played the single player. And honestly, I mean, let's be honest. A lot of these, the Phantasy Star Online games, playing single player, isn't really that great. I mean, there is a story there, but it's nothing to really pull you in. And I mean, just grinding out these weapons and this gear isn't really that much fun to do for me personally. I mean, some people may find something in it, but Phantasy Star Universe, I was like hyped for that game because there was, I don't even know what the podcast was. These guys did like this little shady podcast. I didn't even have an iPod at the time. I was burning episodes on a rewritable disc to listen to in my car. God. And they were putting them out like once a week. And then the day the game came out, I called. It was like a Tuesday or whatever it was. Well, first of all, actually, too, let's talk about the beta. The beta was awesome. And even still, I think people were playing the Phantasy Star Universe beta like for years until they finally took it down because you could play up to like level 20, I think, for free. And so a lot of people were just kind of getting in there to play in the lobby. But the day the game came out, it was like a Tuesday or whatever. And I mean, nobody was doing a Midnight Madness or anything for Phantasy Star Universe. I called my Walmart repeatedly every hour starting at midnight. Wife and son are asleep. My son was like an infant at the time. My wife's in bed. Didn't know. I kind of like, you know, sneakily like set an alarm and was calling every single hour. Like, you have a copy of Phantasy Star? And they're like, you know, Phantasy Star? I'm like, yeah, spelled with a P. I remember I just kept telling the guy, like, spelled with a P. It's P-H. Because, you know, nobody knows, like, what it is. And, of course, they probably didn't even get it until that afternoon because they, you know, they weren't stocking the shelves for that game. But I actually enjoyed it. A lot of people didn't like Phantasy Star Universe. That game did have, I believe, the shared loot. So it was, you know, the kind of those loot rushes trying to get those items. But I enjoyed it. Like it to me, I thought was good. And then what was they put out that expansion for that actually gave you a whole new zone and added just some new just elements to the game that I thought were good. But that game I know did have a little bit more of a story, single player story built into it. Definitely more than Phantasy Star Online. Mm-hmm. But again, nothing to write home about. I mean,
I was a little bit disappointed with Phantasy Star Universe. I wasn't too thrilled. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was super hyped for the game, and then I got to play the beta. I'm like, oh man, I can't wait for the full game. So then I got to play the full game, and I was like, it's good. I mean, it's not horrible. It's not the greatest. I'm just having fun with it, you know? Because I missed how it was with the original Phantasy Star Online. I had a blast with that one. Plus, I think it was for the original Xbox, they also had like a four-player co-op, right? Like the screen?
On PSO, yeah, they did. Yep.
Yeah, they did. And I think they had the same thing, too, for the GameCube. But they see, like, that was a lot of fun playing that, you know. But I don't know. I wasn't there with Phantasy Star Universe. I was a little bit disappointed, I gotta lie.
My wife hates that game because I had a credit card from college that I used to sign up for my hunter's license.
Oh,
my God. Didn't
cancel
it, dude, for, like, 4 years. And it was a credit card that we weren't even paying attention. One day, we just... She's like, what is this? You know, you got this card. I looked, dude, I had like, it was a lot of money.
A lot of money.
And I wasn't even playing the game really anymore. I just, you know, it just kept racking up and I completely forgot about it. Yeah. I spent a lot of money on Phantasy Star Universe that I didn't play.
Yeah. I know that the one for the Xbox, they gave everybody a free month for free. Yep. And then after that, we're charged. But was it $15, $20? I can't remember.
I think it was
exactly.
$12. I want to say it was either $11.99 or $12.99. Yeah, it was... Uh-huh.
Yeah, but
it was a lot.
But while we were playing all those games, our favorite website ever that everybody will go was PSO-world.com. That was like the spot to get tips, strategy, everything, updates. That's when I found out about Phantasy Star Online 2, updates, all kinds of stuff, new quests when it's available. Because sometimes you play it, you play the game, and you don't know there's new quests. You have to like either find out from like forums or websites. Mm-hmm. Or you just got to go yourself to see if there's anything new. But
I'm going to go out on a limb here, man, and say it's still the best place to get all your Phantasy Star information. I mean, they still keep it up to date. They got a great community. You know, they it's going to be interesting, I think, when PSO2 comes out. But like when you look back at Phantasy Star Universe, I mean, you're talking about, you know, how you would go on there to find new quests a lot because there were two versions of this game running. Essentially, you had the version in Japan and they were getting stuff 6-7 months, if not even a year before the States were getting it, which was better than what they were doing with PSO. But I mean, you know, PSU, like still, and a lot of people would play that Japanese version just for that reason alone, because you would just get that content earlier. Mm-hmm. Or you would just get content they weren't releasing here in the States. Yeah. And you would find all that out on PSO-world.com. I mean, they have all that information over there. And, you know, currently now with PSO2 having been out since 2012, there is a load of information over there for people to dig through when PSO2 finally comes out here.
Yeah, now I'm a little bit nervous. I'm a little bit nervous about this because it's been out since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be the first time that a lot of people, especially like me and my brother, and that's a lot of other people, never played this game at all because this only came out for over there in Japan. I'm afraid, like, how much content are we going to get from this? Is it going to be too much, you think? Is it going to be... It's going to be a little bit
something with
you. All right, let's talk about the game now. Let's go for it.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about the game. So, I'm going to say this. If you have the will, where there's a will there's a way. If you have the will to play PSO2 today, it's possible. And it's been possible honestly since shortly after the game released back in 2012.
Okay.
My history with PSO2 was just having the love for the Phantasy Star series through all those years. I needed to get in. I had to play the game. And so I kind of found that way to get in. And many other English speaking people did as well. Seems like Ship 2 is where everybody's kind of congregated. And through the years, there's been this team. I'm not going to give them credit here. Again, if you want to find this out, you can go find where you want to get this information from. But there's a team that really is keeping up to date an English patch that's available. So it's for you to jump in and make it a little bit easier. So as these years have gone on, I've more just jumped in out of curiosity, just to kind of get in and be like, wow, I'm running around this lobby just to see what's there. When we had the announcement at E3, I hooked up with a buddy of mine who I played Destiny with, for years, who just, you know, we just clicked with Destiny. And he was a big Phantasy Star fan. He always said, so I was like, let's do it. Let's jump into PSO2 and see what the day-to-day with this game is. And I'll tell you, man, like what you just said about the game being out for so long that you're nervous, I don't know how they're going to find a good, seamless way to pull people into this game. Not, I don't want to say pull people in, but just to teach them everything if they truly are bringing all the content. Because, I mean, I know people don't want to hear this, but like they need to trickle some of this stuff out. Because, dude, when you get in this game, there is so much to it, man. Like so much to it. It's literally like, I mean, you go in, you're just inundated by so many things, and I don't know what they're going to do. And part of the reason the game never came here was because they have a lot of like licensing deals they did, where they did one with like Final Fantasy 14. Or right now I can go over to I'm in game right now as a recording, just so I can, you know, kind of see what's going on in the lobby. There's at the quest counter, you go to the quest counter, there is I mean, in the States, we know it as like Neon Genesis Evangelion or Evangelion, people say it. There's an Evangelion event happening right now.
Oh, right now? Oh, snap. Okay.
How is that going to come into this game? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I don't know. You know, what's the licensing going to be like? Is that something Microsoft is going to somehow lock down? And I mean, those are the things I think they would need to deliver to live up to the promise of all the content. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, I read that Phil Spencer was saying that this is not an exclusive, because this also is going to come out for other consoles.
Right. True.
So I think maybe launch exclusive for the States will be for Xbox and PC. And this is the first time this crossplay, because it wasn't like that before, you know. And I know that this game was also available for the PlayStation Vita, which I tried to get it for the Vita, and it was just too much, and I tapped out. I'm like, you know what? I can't do this. But you were going to say something?
Danny, it's on the Vita. It's on mobile in Japan. Yeah. And there's even a cloud version on the Switch that I've downloaded and logged into my account. And then some random error popped up in Japanese. And basically, I kind of looked it up. It was saying that I didn't have a good enough connection. But there's a cloud version on the Switch. And
yeah, I try that
that's
too.
How a lot of people play in Japan now, because they're just, you know, they have access to just fantastic Wi-Fi. And they're just playing the cloud version of the game while traveling on the train or whatever it is. I mean, this game is huge. This is basically and Final Fantasy 14 are the two huge MMOs in Japan.
And
the game really is just a beast, man. Like I can't wait to see how they're going to try to push this out to people and teach people how to play this game.
Well, I do have a question. So, yeah. My question is, this is going to be free. So how much content do you think is going to be available for the free version compared to the ones that you have to like premium and buy all this other stuff, right? And also, what's coming out first is the beta. That's another thing too. Yeah. Like, do we play the beta and then we have to play it again once the official version comes out, and or can we just transfer our character from there to the retail version?
I don't
version,
know. I want to say one of the things said that there may be some progress carrying forward that's come out. So that, you know, don't quote me on that. I'm sure somebody's going to hear this and say, no, they didn't say that. Or they did say that somewhere. But that seems to be one of the rumblings I've heard, is that progress will carry forward, because in the end, like I said, it's a free to play game. And I wouldn't really concern yourself about what the premium version is, because this works a lot like, say, like Elder Scrolls Online, where games, it's buy to play. That game is. I mean, this is just free to play, but you get everything. It's all pretty much there. Now, Elder Scrolls Online, yes, there is certain content that you do have to pay for, quests and stuff like that. I haven't found any quests or anything in this that you need to pay for. What I found is there's a premium currency, and then there's items to buy, like cosmetic stuff.
That's fine.
They give you access to the ability to set up your own shop. As far as I know, I can't set up my own shop unless I pay and get that like monthly fee, which was a big deal in Phantasy Star Universe, where people were setting up player-made shops. And I can go like right now and buy things from players, but I can't set up my own shop. So if you're somebody that just likes to craft and you just want to set up your own store, maybe you played Phantasy Star Universe and that's what you did, you can do that in this game. You can just set up your store and that's all you can do. You can just go out and just mine, and because you can also gather. I mean, there is just even gathering in this game, like fishing and things like that. You can do that, set up your shop, sell it, and that could be your whole Phantasy Star Online 2 experience if that's what you want it to be. Now, the other thing they do, I haven't actually seen this, but my buddy I was playing with, we were separated because I just went on a different quest than he did. There was, the game will have timed events, and you'll see it at the top of the screen. It'll say like the big like quest thing it puts in there is, it's called an emergency quest, and it's literally a banner like you see like on CNN on the bottom of the screen, except it's at the top. It says emergency quest. Everybody knows at that point there's a quest that's only available for 30 minutes. There's only certain items that can drop for it. There's whole communities online where people have like created like timers for these things and calendars. I mean, they've even made like third-party apps that will alert people on their phone so they know they need to log in if there's an item that you need. So it's one of those games, man. Like, it's one of those things. So you go in, it'll be a 12-player like boss raid, and you'll fight a bunch of enemies, and you'll fight a big boss at the end, and you'll have a chance of getting whatever the loot drop is from that. Well, another thing they have besides those quests that are in there is, I don't know what it's called, but my buddy, we went back to the lobby because he saw this, and it was saying to go to this certain area. There was a commercial for ramen running in the lobby.
Really?
Like a real-world commercial. That's another thing. Are they going to do that here in the States? Are we going to see a commercial for like Farmers Insurance, like playing in the lobby? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. This was a long time ago. I remember this is when Barack Obama was running for the first time. He had ads in different games. Like, I remember playing, I think it was one of the racing games from EA.
I remember it was there.
I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. So, and I know Sega, they were known to do that back then during the Dreamcast days. They had, I think it was Reebok or Adidas, advertised like in Sonic Adventure. You download like this, I don't know if it's like DLC or what, but you put in the VMU and there's like an event where it's advertised as sponsored by the company, but they're all over the game. All over the game.
Crazy.
So I could see that happening with,
I mean, right now I'm in the lobby. There's an ad playing for what I'm guessing, because it's in Japanese. Some of the stuff gets translated, but a lot of like any random drops don't. I mean, obviously the stat numbers you can see, but the descriptions and that you can't. But there's an ad playing for what looks to be a premium like closet door or something you could buy for your room. And it's a video playing in the lobby right now. They're advertising for their game.
So this is real time right now.
Right now, I'm watching. Right now. Yeah. And then now it's showing what I'm guessing is the Evangelion event, where there's like a big robot and there's a couple of people fighting it.
Now, the game has been out for so long. How much content they've been putting in like now, like the past year or two? They're still putting new content?
As far as I know. I mean, this event right now, like I go like basically the way the game will work is you go in and you go to this quest counter, and they kind of, there is a tutorial in the beginning of the game to kind of teach you like the class system, and you know, you got to get a license for your mag. So they send you out to certain areas to do some different, you know, quests you got to go on to then unlock your mag and things like that. But when you go to that main quest hub, you can go in there, and then that's when you see all the different areas. Now, if you remember, like Phantasy Star Online only had four. Remember, it was like you had your Forest. Yes. And then, of course, episode two added a few extras. Right now, I got the forest, volcanic caverns, desert, tundra, sub-tunnel, skyscape, ruins, sanctum, coast, quarry, seabed. Sure, I mean, it goes on. So there's a bunch of them. So, those areas could have been added throughout the years. And this is another thing I'm going to tell people is this will probably be the most Japanese or Eastern game you've ever played in your life. Because there's you can go to Tokyo. You go to straight up Tokyo and it's current day Tokyo with just high rise buildings, and you'll fight helicopters and tanks that are, the helicopters fly, the tanks kind of roll, but when you shoot them, they flop around like a dead fish.
What the?
Dude, it's crazy. You go to Las Vegas and it's like this crazy futuristic Las Vegas. You're going around and then there's like crazy clowns and like a carnival, I don't know what you want to call it, like trolley or whatever, throwing like barrels at you, and you shoot them or kill them and they flop around like a dead fish. Like it is... The one thing I've always told people about this game is it's bonkers. But that's kind of the beauty of it, is it's so much fun to see all the silly stuff that they put into it, because I think that's really what's happened with this game. Is it started out a regular, Phantasy Star Online 2, what you would think the sequel would be. They had your basic areas, the forest, the tundra, all those things. And then as the years have gone on and they've kind of got into these, licensing deals, but whatever, these kind of partnerships with these other companies, they've started adding these just kind of wacky or fun things into the game. And that's kind of become the appeal of it. It's just this social lobby. You go in and then go on these quests just to get that fun loot. And then they throw these random, the emergency quests. Or, you'll even be mid-quest out in an area. Like if you remember, you'd go to the forest and you kind of go through your different areas. Then while you're going through there, you'll come to a multiplayer instance. So you're kind of, and Destiny kind of did this as well, where you'd be going through like a strike or even like kind of going through a raid. And then sometimes you'd come through an area where you'd come across another fire team in there. Same thing with this. You'll come to an area where you'll come across some other people, but then it'll flash across the screen. And I'm interested to see if they're going to change the voice, but in this game, it's a Japanese man. He's like, emergency. He says, and it's flashing on the screen, emergency. And it'll tell you like emergency code attack. And then there'll just be 20 enemies that'll just randomly spawn. And you got to kill all the enemies in a certain time frame. And it's just a random event that just happened in the middle of the quest you were on. Or there'll be another emergency and it'll be like, disarm the bombs. And there'll be like five bombs kind of just scattered throughout the area. And you've kind of come into this area with these other players and you got to work together to defeat it. Yeah. So the game isn't even just about go on your quest. It's also even kind of going out into the areas and then just finding things to do out there. You can just go into, I think they just call them like free field quests is what it's called. And you just go out into one of the zones and just have fun and the random stuff's going to happen and you'll come across people out there.
Do you think that this game was the one that actually got you into like games like Borderlands and Destiny?
Oh,
and
totally.
Games like that. So,
totally,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, because there's going to be a lot of people that don't know the history of Phantasy Star, how important that game is, Phantasy Star Online, and now playing all these loot shooters now, especially with Borderlands being the first one after that. Why do you think it was important for this game to finally come out here in the States, man?
Well, in terms of PSO2, I think it's just important just for people to just experience it. Because a lot of people, I think, just passed on the series because, either they weren't playing video games like this at that time. Mm-hmm. Or even, let's just say financially, maybe you just couldn't afford to, couldn't pay a monthly fee back then. Just to go back to PSO, I'm going to say this, and this isn't really anything secret. But having been host of Guardian Radio, which was a show all about Destiny, and we had started that show about a year and a half before Destiny launched. And I did say this on that show back then, so this is not a secret. I was lucky to be able to play in the pre-alpha. I was not I played in the alpha, but I was in the pre-alpha. So I was playing Destiny like February, before even that alpha at E3. So I was able to get in there and play with some of the folks from Bungie, play with some other people. And there was definitely a conversation I had one evening with someone, and it was about me saying, hey, this game feels a lot like Phantasy Star. And the person just saying, I'm so glad you got that, because that's one of the things. If you think about it, the original Destiny only had four locations, right? There was
it
only
did.
Earth, Mars. I mean, there's a sheet I think I've even posted, and I think you've sent it to you, and we've all posted it, where it's, you just go through everything. There was, you know, the three different races, all the classes you could play, all of that. There are so many things, so many just analogies between the original Destiny and Phantasy Star Online. Obviously, first-person shooter, one was more of a third-person action game, but just the systems that were built into it, it was just the realization of that game in first-person. I mean, it really is. Mm-hmm. And so I think for people to discover the series now, it's just going to be kind of that, almost a history lesson, like, okay, well, that's what this is based on. Now, my only concern, and I'm not going to say I'm concerned for you, because I think you're going to be like me, where you're going to jump in and just take it for what it is, and you're just the idea of playing a new Phantasy Star game, you're just going to go along with everything. But the fact that this game came out in 2012, my concern is that nowadays you look at games like Anthem and all these other looter shooters that are kind of coming out now, and then all the quality of life things people have gotten used to. This game doesn't have a lot of that. You know, this game is one of those games where, like, a simple thing of feeding your mag, you could feed your mag the wrong thing and then kind of screw your mag. Now, if you're not into the min-maxing, that may not be too much of a concern for you. Mm-hmm. But this game is very much that. It's like, if you're like me playing a range cast, and I need to make sure that my range stat is as high as it possibly can be, I need to make sure I'm feeding my mag the proper things. You know, in a lot of games today, just kind of throw some of that aside and just make it too easy. This is not that. So if you're looking for a game that you really want to jump into, and I mean, you and I enjoyed back in the day going to PSO World and finding, you know, all the ways to min-max characters and just all the little secrets that the game held. This has probably more than you could imagine in that sense.
And that's good.
Which is great. But if you're somebody who is more into the, I just, you know, just give me the loot and I just want to play, this is not the game for you. That's the only thing I'm going to say about
it. Yeah. No, and I get it, because, you know, I think just... you're talking about this, man. I remember going a lot to the website PSO World all the time to figure out like how things I should do in the game. Because look, man, back then when you get this game, you get a little booklet, but it doesn't really explain much.
Right.
I found out everything because of the community. People were like, hey, look, I just discovered this. They'll post in the forums. Sometimes it gets so big, they'll put it like in the front page of PSO World. You know, so this is all, to me, it's like, word of mouth because of the community, not just because Sega is giving us tips how to do things, man, you know?
Right. And, so, and you know, we do live in that age, that what I like to always call like the Dark Souls age now, where, like, think about, man, any of those games, that's what it is. It's people going online and just discovering it together. And that in itself is the game, you know, is everybody figuring it out. Now, the one thing this game has is it's been out since 2012. So a lot of the game has been discovered. But for us here, we haven't discovered it, you know, and that is the fun of going out and, you know, seeing how you want to play. But again, it's such a social game. I mean, this game is completely built around the social aspect. Right now I'm in the lobby and there's just people walking around. I mean, another thing too, man, that's pretty crazy is that if you remember like the old PSO days, people just would go to the lobbies and post not emojis, but you could put up those little cards, you know, with all little things written on them and little silly emotes. This one has some rather questionable emotes that I'm a little bit interested to see how people are going to handle. Two specifically, I've seen, because it is a very Japanese game, there's some very scantily clad women, you know, or outfits, let's say, going around. I've seen them chained up from the ceiling with their hands chained up, just kind of struggling in the middle of a lobby. And then I've even seen people on like a spigot over fire. Don't know where that's going to go, if that's going to come out here, but that is in the Japanese version of this game.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that for the American version. Now, the question I do have, you know, knowing that this game is crossplay, can we also play with Japanese players, or this is just only for like European and the States, and that's it? Like how that's going to work? Because the original Phantasy Star, I can't remember much about the Phantasy Star universe, but I know the original Phantasy Star, you could play with Japanese players back then, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like the way it works now is when you log into the game, you go to a ship and there's, I think, 10 or 12 ships and you create your character on that ship and they're locked to that ship. So when the game first came out, everybody, like I said, English speaking people were rushing ship 2. They just locked it out eventually. So my first character was on like ship 10 because I just was like, ugh, no English players there. Well, then as the population kind of trickled down, I was able to get into ship 2. And then, of course, now when I started playing again this summer with a fresh character, was easily able to get into ship 2. But your character is locked to that ship. I think when they do those emergency quests where there's 12 players, I think it will matchmake. Possibly, don't quote me on that, but it may matchmake across the ships for that, just to make sure you're finding people to play with. Mm-hmm. But if you have a friend that creates one on, I mean, it's no different than like World of Warcraft, or I mean, even Final Fantasy 14 does it now, where if you create it on a different server, chances are you're not going to be able to match up, kind of like in the open world or whatever. And in this game, as far as I know, like you're just, you can't, it's like a different server. So that's going to be interesting. And like, if they're going to link people up with the Japanese players, are they going to have to create different ships and then just hope the Japanese players create characters on those ships? Or are we going to have our ship 1 through 10 and then they're just going to, I guess, maybe expand the server space to allow us to do that? I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I'm very curious about that. Now, my other question for you, Mark, is I know you've been playing this for a while. Now, what level is your character? And I know we were talking about this before we started recording, but you said something like you stopped after a while because you probably just were waiting for the US version to come out so you could start playing from that. Now, once the game comes out, do you see yourself playing this longer now because it's officially now the official English version and so on? Or
I played, I think I told you, I played 37 hours this summer, and then I just kind of hit a spot where I said, you know what, I don't want to experience anymore. My character right now, I'm a level 55. I think the cap, I want to say it's 85. You get to 80 and then there is a way to push up to 85, I believe. But I just didn't want to play anymore because I'm like, why am I going to waste all this time right now in this character when I'm going to want to do it again? Which, hey, it's a game about grinding. You're going to do it anyways. But no, I want to be building a character that's mine, you know, over on the Western version of the game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do see myself definitely, especially in the beginning, whatever premium they have for this, definitely buying into it. The game is loaded with different currencies, but of course it does have the premium currency to get the flashy gear. Cause there is, I mean, that's a big version or a big thing of this game, which any MMO has that, where it's all about the fashion show at some point, you know, you get to that end game and it's all about looking cool. So I'm definitely going to be going in on that. And now am I going to stick with it? I mean, one of the cool things it does, and right now I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14, man. That's basically, I jumped off this, started playing that. And I know I'm supposed to be the Destiny guy, man, but I've just discovered that game and I've been playing the heck out of it. But it does something like this game does, where you create your character and you can switch your class whenever you want. So like in this right now, I'm playing a Ranger. I'm a level 55 Ranger. I can go to the class counter, change to I'll go over there right now. I can go over there as a fighter and I'm a level 3 fighter.
Do you have to pay using your currency to change it, or you could just change it whenever you want?
Changing is free. And then I just go out with my Ranger or with my Hunter at my low level 3, change my items up and, you know, make sure I have like a sword because I'm obviously not using range at that point. And then it opens up a whole new skill tree that I just started leveling and grinding that. So you can just create one character and then literally go through every single class in the game. So just because you max out your character in one class, switch over to a different class, change your play style, and then start grinding all that gear out. Because, you know, not every character can use every weapon. So you grind out all the gear for the Ranger and then just switch over to a different class and go ahead. And then they also have in this subclasses. So you have your class, your subclass, and then that also allows you different abilities that you can use. It does have one thing that I know the old games had. I know PSU had this, and I think PS1, you couldn't change your weapon on the fly, but you would change your palette, just kind of your skill set to that weapon. But I want to say in Phantasy Star Universe, you could switch your weapon on the fly. This does actually give you 6 palettes eventually of being able to essentially swap between 6 different weapons. What a lot of people do is each weapon, when you have it equipped, it's basically kind of your face buttons, you know, like your, XYB. Mm-hmm. And then you can hit another button and it just creates 3 different abilities on that. A lot of people will equip 3 weapons, but have the same weapon on 2 different palettes. So because each weapon essentially has 6 different abilities, you know, the 3, and then you pull your trigger down, you get another 3. A lot of people will equip the same weapon twice. So then the second time you equip it, then you put all different abilities on it there. So you really could have like 12 different abilities on a weapon.
One of my last questions, but boss battle-wise, yeah, which one was the one that stood out to you the most, and why, out of all the ones that you played?
In this, I couldn't even explain them to you. I mean, that's the craziest thing. I told you this game is It's bonkers, man.
The first boss that I ever played was the dragon one, right?
The dragon.
The dragon one. Yeah, that was like, what? I can't believe this. And then and then the last boss in the game was really tough, man. Like, everybody was dying, but there was always one person that would revive us all the time, you know? But yep. it was very challenging, man. That boss
battle.
Game,
that's the one thing that, you know, my buddy and I, because I kept saying to him, is I'm like, when is this game going to get hard? Because this game is kind of like, I think the other games did this too, where you just have easy, or it was like very easy, easy, you know, medium, hard, very hard. It has the different difficulties. And that's really why you're leveling up, because you want to start unlocking those harder difficulties, because that's where you're going to get the bigger drops. But it wasn't until like we hit like level, like kind of in our 50s here, I think our early 50s, shortly before we stopped, and we got one of those emergency quests, like those time things. And we went into it with 10 other people. So it was 12 of us in there. So essentially it's like a raid almost. And dude, I couldn't even tell you what was happening on screen. Like we were running on a spaceship, fighting about like a bunch of little mobs. And then at the end, it was just some enemy I couldn't even describe to you. And it was just everything exploding on the screen. Like it was just wild, but that's the appeal of it. I know that sounds crazy to some people, but it was so much fun to be playing it. And I can't wait for people to just kind of start experiencing the wackiness that is in this game. It is just, it's a joy, honestly. Like not once did I get to the point in this game where I was frustrated to the point where, you know, you wanted to rage quit or anything like that. I'm sure it can happen. I'm sure when you get
that happens, right? Yeah.
But I just enjoyed every minute that I played it. And part of that could have been nostalgia. I mean, there may be some people who play it and say this game is so 2012 and not want to jump into it. But it's, I don't know, man. I can't wait for you to play it, man. You're going to love it.
I can't wait.
You're gonna love it.
Because look, that same exact description you mentioned about Phantasy Star Online 2, the boss battles, you didn't even know what was going on. It was kind of the same way with the older ones, but it was like a smaller scale. You know, it was like very small compared to this, you know, but yeah, I'm excited.
I will tell you, man, this game plays a lot better. Like it feels a lot better. Playing the Ranger in this game really feels like you're playing like a third person shooter. I've played both mouse and keyboard. And then I've just recently like towards the end there, hooked up my controller. Cause I was just like, you know, I'm just playing mouse and keyboard. Played great as a shooter, like a third person shooter. It was awesome. You can jump. I don't think you could jump in the old games. There's some verticality in these where areas where, you know, you may have to get a box that's two or three levels up. So that's a whole new twist to the game, right? Verticality. Okay. In a PSL
game. I didn't know that. Cause the first one, you could just run.
I mean, you could dodge and roll before, but you can combine that in this too, where you're kind of jumping and like dodging in that. So it's much more, I don't know what's the way to say, like, not tactical, but you just, it feels good. It feels really good when you're doing the gameplay, like the fighting in that. It's way better than those old games. When you go back and play the old games, they're just so slow.
Oh, very slow.
But that was the time, right?
Yeah, exactly. And remember, you also got to remember too, man, this was a 56K modem, man. It was it wasn't broadband. Think about it. At that time, that was mind blowing playing that.
Yeah, like that, that's, you know? True.
So
they had to give those extra seconds for the information to go to and from the servers.
Yeah, true. Exactly, man. So I don't know. I'm just excited, Mark. You know, you got me super hyped for the game. And at the same time too, like I even told you this before we started recording, that I was trying to go in this blind, but I felt like this was super important for me to record this podcast with you. Because I want other people to try this out too. I want them to be excited and you know, just try it out to see. Like you said, it's part of history, man. You know, it's a very important game. If you're a fan of Borderlands, Destiny, or loot shooters in general, this was the game that started everything, man. You know, console wise, man. So yeah, but thanks, Mark, for the conversation. If anybody want to follow you and listen to your podcast, mention one more time so people can follow you and subscribe.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. It's @MarkTurk. That's MarkTurc. Mm-hmm. I'm currently hosting The Enthusiast Life. So you can find us on iTunes, you know, all those places. The Enthusiast Life every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, depending. I mean, we're consistent every week, but it all just depends on when we're putting the shows out. But we're talking games, movies, comics. We just put out our big Rise of Skywalker review. So if you want to tune into that, hear some thoughts. I'm also a member of the 501st Legion, a Star Wars costuming group. So I'm actually a stormtrooper for people out there. So you can hear thoughts on the Rise of Skywalker from a stormtrooper himself.
Nice.
And yeah, so, and definitely check out Phantasy Star Online too when it comes out. Right now, you can actually sign up for the beta. You got to be in the Xbox Insider program.
Yep.
Go in there, sign up, and trust me when I say you at least need to get in there and just see what the game is. And I'll be honest with you, I know you would have fun regardless. Like, it may not be a game that everybody's going to launch into and absolutely love and spend hundreds of hours like they've spent in Destiny or The Division or whatever. But it's just a fun game, and do the beauty. It's free. It's free to play. You don't even have to spend a dime on it. You can just play. So get in there and play it.
My prediction, this game, the beta, I think is coming out in February. What's your prediction?
When's it going to come out?
Yeah, the beta.
I think February. And then I honestly think the release will be no longer than a month after the beta. I think it's going to be quick. I think the whole point of the beta is just going to be to make sure the English servers run, don't crash, and they're just going to launch this thing out there. Because they don't really need to, you know, worry about any bugs in the game per se. Like, I think that, you know, the game's been going since 2012. It's pretty stable in that sense. It's more the connection to wherever the main servers are set up. They got to make sure that they work. And I mean, I would almost say, dude, the game's going to come out in beta, and then like even 2 weeks later, the game may release, but no longer than a month after.
No longer than a month. Okay.
No longer than a month, man.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Well, thanks, Mark, for the conversation. This was a great conversation, by the way. Brought back a lot of memories, man.
Yeah, man.
All right. But thanks a lot, Mark.
Yeah. Take care, man. Thanks.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio episode 991. Your thoughts, please let me know your opinion, everything about the conversation. Look, that roundtable got me super hyped for the game, and I'm curious to see the overall, like, the type of content they're going to be releasing for the closed beta. How's that going to be different from the official version once it comes out after? So, but remember, send your feedback. Questions, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. That's fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Give us a call, 76-273-7GTR, or go right now, anywhere around the world, you could record a message, go through speakpipe.com/gamertagradio, and you can leave a message there, and I will definitely will play it on the podcast. First of all, thanks to Mark for last night to record this podcast. That was really cool, and I'm definitely going to get my brother in the future to record another podcast about Phantasy Star Online. That's when we finally get some hands-on, and we're going to go in, all in, talking about the game, man. So, and that's about it. So, stay tuned. We have more content. Quick little thing. The official date for our 1,000th episode is coming out February 10th, 2020. That's February 10th, 2020. And I'm still working on it. We'll see what happens. I have no idea what's going to happen for the episode, but stay tuned. All right. Thank you for listening. And until next time, I'm out. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.